Good morning, malt friends. This is Jamie, and I hope you're all doing well. I thought that I would start reading our Survivor Diaries Avalanche book in chapters to give you a chance to keep up with the story we started when we were together before our schools closed. And so this is a way to stay connected, and Caleb and Catherine and I miss you all very much, and hope you enjoy taking some time to listen to the story. So, Survivor Diaries Avalanche, Chapter 1. I'm starting back from the beginning so you can remember where we left off. "So, tell me how you survived the avalanche," the reporter said. He placed his phone on the kitchen table between us, then pressed record. With his pen poised over his notepad, he looked at me expectantly. He smelled like grass and ink and summer tomatoes from the garden. Without thinking, I glanced around for my brother, but he wasn't in sight. "You sure you don't want to talk to Ryan, too?" Dad asked the reporter, filling his cup with coffee. "He's got a good eye for detail." "Maybe later," the reporter smiled at me. One tooth along the top was slightly crooked and stuck out a bit. "I wanted to hear it from Ashley first." "The avalanche wasn't even the worst part," I began. "But I'll never forget the roar, how fast it all happened. One minute we were skiing, and the next we were being swept down the mountain at lightning speed. It just grabbed us, and I couldn't stop myself from falling. I couldn't breathe. The snow was everywhere, choking white blizzard in the air. I couldn't see." "Wait," the reporter stopped the recording. "I explained to your parents, Ashley. I'm writing a story about brave kids like you surviving in the wilderness. Readers will want to know everything you were thinking, everything you did, so they can learn what to do if it happens to them. Where were you? How did it happen? Try to tell me everything you remember." He didn't look at Dad or anyone else, only me. I felt suddenly anxious about being part of the series about brave kids. I used to be just Ashley Hilder, 12 years old, twin sister to the awesome Ryan Hilder. I had never been anything special before compared to him, my brother. The reporter pressed the red record button again. "Tell me your story." I sat back in my chair, trying to conjure up the memory of that day. Well, it all started with the Wolverines. Chapter 2. 2 months earlier. "Try to keep up with your brother, Ash," Dad said. I'd heard that my whole life. "You have to push yourself if you want to get faster and be the best on the team," he continued. The shushing from my skis muffled his voice. "Shh. Shh." But I heard that what he was saying, it was loud and clear. "Be as good as Ryan." I wanted my dad to be proud of me, too. The guide from the lodge where we were staying had dropped us off at Chisler Ditch Trailhead. We were here to ski the famous mountains of Wyoming. Snowy peaks rose up like white daggers around us. We had mountains back home in Vermont, but none like these. The late March ski conditions were perfect. Fresh snow from yesterday had set us up with pure powder. We'd be making first tracks, which was always my favorite part of alpine touring. The guide told us that the avalanche danger was only moderately below the tree line, a 2 out of 5. It was a 3 out of 5, or considerable, in the upper alpine sections, but we were staying low today because of Mom. She wasn't as comfortable on her skis as the rest of us. We stopped for lunch and studied the pamphlet we'd been given at the lodge earlier that morning. It provided information about wolverines along with a map. Some group was doing a study to figure out how recreational activities was affecting the wolverines. They had a sticky trap set on Colt Summit to catch the hares of passing wolverines. "Listen to this quote from Douglas Chadwick's The Wolverine Way," Ryan said, reading from an excerpt in the pamphlet. "If wolverines have a strategy, it's this. Go hard and high and steep and never back down, not even from the biggest grizzly, and least of all from a mountain." Ryan clawed his hand in front of his face for added drama as he read. "Climb everything. Trees, cliffs, avalanche chutes, summits. Eat everything. Alive, dead, long dead. Moose, mouse, fox, frog. It's still warm with its heart or frozen bones. Whatever wolverines do, they do it undaunted. They live life as fiercely and relentlessly as it has ever been lived," Ryan explained. "Gross about eating everything," I said, and tossed a snowball at him. "Imagine seeing a wolverine for real," Ryan said, his eyebrows high the way that they were when he gets excited about a new plan. Ryan always has a new plan.
After lunch, we continued toward the marmot shelter, a heated yurt where Mom said she wanted to take a proper break. Ryan led, as usual. I was next, and then Dad. Mom struggled to keep up behind him. We skied along the trail, which was carved out between snow-swept spruce and fir. When Ryan sped up, I glanced behind to our parents before racing after him. "Keep going," Dad called after us. "I'll stay with Mom. We'll meet you at the shelter." Ryan's backpack, filled with his usual ski touring gear, bounced as he sped along the trail. I knew where he was heading. "You coming or what?" he said over his shoulder. "We'll have time to check it out if we hurry." "Wait," I said, "we don't even know where it is." Ryan stopped and pulled out the map he had stuffed in his pocket after lunch. He pointed to Colt Summit. "Yeah, we do. It's not far. And besides, going off..." Oops, pissed, is that the word? It's a technical word, I don't know. Off-pissed is what you wanted, right? You guys can look that one up at home. P-I-S-T-E. Not sure what it means. I'd always told him that I thought skiing was more fun off the established trails. It was what excited me the most about our vacations. Ryan turned the map to his pocket, and then he pulled from his helmet and his pack, and then he snapped it on over his head. "I know you want to skin up this face and hit the untouched snow," he grinned at me. I could see Colt Summit now through the trees. "Eat my dust," Ryan said, pushing off sideways and gaining speed down a slight grade. "Hey," I lurched after him. We sprinted a rowdy race to the next outcrop, but it was no use. I never beat him. Being twins is hard. Everyone compares you, even though he's a guy and I'm a girl, and we look alike. Dark hair, dark eyes, pointy chins, dimples on the same left cheek. We do the same activities. We're even on the same ski team, but people point out right in front of us that he's better at almost everything. The pack bumped my back as I hit a rough patch, and I stopped to pull my stainless steel water bottle out of the insulated sleeve. Maybe take a minute to think about why her water bottle is in an insulated sleeve. The bottle was nearly empty. The frosted Grand Teton, the highest point in the Teton Range, and the second highest peak in Wyoming, rose up in the distance, and Colt Summit was just ahead on our right. I blew out my breath in a cloud, and I wrapped my glove around my ski pole. When we stopped at the fork in the trail, Ryan took out the map again, and he pointed at it. "Look, I was right. Here is where we'd go left to the shelter in Marmot Valley. But the Wolverine hair trap that the scientists set up is just up there on Colt Summit. Let's go and see if we can spot a real Wolverine." Scratching my hat, I looked behind us. "Are you sure we have time?" It had started to snow, adding more powder to our ski. Large flakes melted on my hot face when I gazed up at the peak. I pulled up beside Ryan, and I reached for one side of the map. "We'd have to follow the right fork until about here," I said, reading the map that we held between us and pointing. "And then cross that ridge before we got to the approach to Colt Summit. We should wait for Mom and Dad." But after a few moments of standing still, we got cold. The sweat on our skin began to feel icy. I pulled out my own helmet, I put it on, and I secured the strap under my chin. We glanced at each other and then, in unison, headed up the right fork in the trail, gaining speed to try to warm up. Ryan led. "Hurry," he said. "We can be up and back before they catch us if you get moving. But if not, they'll see our tracks and they'll know where we are." "No worries, little sister." 6 minutes is apparently very important when it comes to birth order. Ryan never let me forget which one of us was born first. With enough speed, we headed up a slope and around a tight bend on the edges of our wide touring skis. The air was crisp. When we left the trail, I glanced behind and smiled at our new tracks in the clean snow. I twisted back to face forward and scanned where I thought our route should take us up to the summit. It was going to be so fun coming down. The only sounds were the shushing in the snow and my ragged breathing in my ears as we pushed upward. Once the terrain got steeper, we stopped to unroll our mohair climbing skins and then attach them to the bottom of our skis to avoid sliding backwards. I glided a few strokes, getting used to the feel of not sliding back. My tracks behind me drew straight lines in the snow like two long highway strips. But when I faced ahead, I spotted different tracks. "Rye, look!" Large oval footprints, just like the ones on the pamphlet from the lodge, crossed our tracks and zigzagged ahead. They were almost the size of my boot. Are we sure they're Wolverine? They're so big, I said. Wolverines are only like 35 pounds, Ryan whispered, peering around. But I read that their paws are as broad as the paws of a 120-pound wolf. It's so they can walk on top of the snow. I could clearly see the imprint of the claws. These must be really fresh, I said, glancing up at the falling snow. They haven't been covered yet. The prince bounded ahead toward a crop of conifers shrouded in snow. Let's see if they can get to that stand of trees over there, Ryan said. Maybe we'll surprise the Wolverine. The evergreens looked promising, but there was a large, open expanse between us and the trees. I waited for Ryan to ski forward first, leaving a good distance between us, like we'd learned in avalanche training at our ski club. I remembered if you had to cross avalanche terrain, you shouldn't expose more than one person to danger at a time. I watched him, and then I followed. Out in the open, I had a better sense of the sprawling landscape that surrounded us. Mountain ranges spread out in every direction. As our skis broke through the crisp, thin coating of hoarfrost underneath the new layer of snow, we heard a muffled whump. We both froze and looked at each other. An ominous, sliding sound began. I felt the ground move beneath me. With growing horror, I saw the snow around us slab and break away. Avalanche! I screamed.